Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure, touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
Thank you for joining me here at the Blue Table tonight. I am Mervyn Hanley. I'll be joined by Rohan Isles after the break. Tonight, we will discuss the trending topics such as what took place, what's happening on Antigua and Barbuda. Prime Minister Gaston Brown, he made some comments, and we will go through those comments tonight regarding vaccination, the public servants, including pensioners. We will also speak about a quote made by Premier Foy of the British Virgin Islands. And on Nevis, Dr. Patricia Bartlett, the NRP's candidate for the constituency of St. John. She will come up against the Honorable Premier, that's Mark Anthony Graham Brantley. So we'll talk about all that after the break. Let's hear from the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and Anchor Podcast, and we'll be back with Rohan Isles.
Everyone struggles at times. Even we too have our own struggles. Do you have a loan at the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis and have fallen behind on your payments because of financial difficulties? Have your financial situation changed? If your answer is yes, visit the Development Bank of St. Kitts and Nevis or call 465-2288 extension 1101 or 469-5416 to make an appointment to discuss our debt evaluation and restructuring plan with one of our qualified officers. We are committed to working with you to make a sustained positive difference in your life.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure, touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
We're back at the Blue Table, and good night to you and yours again, wherever you are at this time. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for being a part of the nightly podcast, Monday to Thursday, right here at the Blue Table. Rohan, good night to you.
Good night, my brother. How are you doing?
I am good, man. How are you? How are you?
I am surviving. I am getting accustomed to, or at least trying to get accustomed to the life of a young politician.
A young politician. But now, I warned you, you know, because you have your family that you have to take care of. I think that, what, four children?
Yeah.
Four children and a wife. So that's a family right there. Then you have the calls, morning, noon, and night, messages, texts. Rohan, we need to do this. Rohan, we need to do that. Rohan, where is this? Rohan, that. Meetings, campaigning. How are you? I mean, the list goes on and on. So how are you dealing and managing that?
Well, you know, I am reminded of two pieces of advice given to me by two individuals. One was to be deliberate in remaining focused.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was do not be overwhelmed. So I keep those two pieces of advice. From the same day, I try my best not to be overwhelmed, and that means for me that I surround myself with a strong, vibrant, responsible, and accountable, and a good team,
mm-hmm.
so that I can do that. I can continue to remain focused and not be overwhelmed with the task at hand. You know, the challenges that I'll have to face, that we'll face as a team, but I am confident if we're doing it together, then we'll come out on the other side just as sane as we entered the campaign. So,
mm-hmm.
Still a ways to go. I think I'll get better at it as time goes on.
Okay. And we'll speak about elections and campaigning on Nevis. But before we do that, I want you to listen to this recording by Gaston Brown, Prime Minister Gaston Brown, out of Antigua and Barbuda. He was talking about the vaccination, and he made some comments, and I quote, Before we get into that, the comment that he made, and he said that workers in the public sector, you especially, have a moral obligation to get vaccinated. The reality is our government has had to borrow for several months in order to pay salary and wages. We have not placed a single person on day on and day off. We have not fired a single person. We are going the extra mile to provide for you. But I say to you, if you fail to get vaccinated in order to assist us in achieving herd immunity, your pay will be compromised. I say to the pensioners as well, if you fail to get vaccinated, you're not only putting your lives at risk, but you'll be putting your pension payments at risk. I say to the entire country, if we do not get vaccinated, we will be putting the entire country at risk. Now, let's listen to the, it's more than that he said, so let's listen to that clip in its entirety, and we'll be back on the other end.
We cannot allow that to happen. We have to take responsibility for the development of this nation. And I want to say here that the worst thing could happen is for anyone to take the decision not to get vaccinated. And understand, when you take that decision, you're putting lives and livelihoods at risk. And you are also undermining the recovery. In fact, you are putting the development of this country at risk. Our government has decided against mandatory vaccines or vaccinations. And we do not wish to go down that road. And that is why I'm going the extra mile today on Labor Day to appeal to every citizen and resident in this country to get vaccinated as soon as possible. And it's not about getting vaccinated tomorrow. It's about getting vaccinated today. Because if we don't achieve herd immunity within a short period of time, there will be significant consequences. Health consequences and economic consequences for all of us. And workers in the public sector, you especially, have a moral obligation to get vaccinated. The reality is, our government has had to borrow for several months in order to pay salaries and wages. We have not placed a single person on day on, day off. We have not fired a single person. We are going the extra mile to provide for you. But I say to you that if you fail to get vaccinated in order to assist us in achieving herd immunity, your pay will be compromised. I say to the pensioners as well that if you fail to get vaccinated, you will not only be putting your lives at risk, but you'll be putting your pension payments at risk. I say to the entire country that if we do not get vaccinated, we will be putting the entire country at risk.
That was Prime Minister Gaston Browne for you, Rohan Isles. Your thoughts?
But I mean, you know, Marvin, isn't that the reality? And we said this at the table before, that it is at the end of the day, or at some point in time, it would come down to the health of the of a country versus its economic wealth. And what we are seeing is that for countries in the region, their economic wealth is losing its stronghold. There is not much in the treasuries, so to speak. And so countries like Antigua and Barbuda, as the Prime Minister said, have had to borrow monies to pay salaries. And that is his reality as the Prime Minister of that country. That is what he has done in an effort to ensure that the social balances in his country didn't come tumbling down. Because one would understand if he had to start to lay off people or to pay them according to short shifts, you know, what could be the consequences therein.
But Rohan, I get that. But so the people not, I understand, I'm not saying that there should be a mandatory vaccination, because I made a social media post about that yesterday and how I feel and what's happening. But at the same time, it's damned if you do and damned if you don't, right? But do people not understand what's really at stake? I mean, yes, it's their choice, mind you. But at the same time, do we understand? Do we really understand what these leaders are facing at this time? And some of them, believe me, I am not even supposed to be sorry for some of them, because some of them doesn't even, they don't even deserve to be in the leadership seat. But they're there. So I empathize with what they're going through. And I want to wish them the best in getting through this. But the nation, the people, is it that people are just saying, listen, yes, the health of the nation is the wealth of the nation. But at the same time, this is my body. And then the questions arise about, you know, and all the information or misinformation. So where is the balance, or how do we strike a balance?
Well, you know, he did say he's not doing mandatory vaccine. Mm-hmm. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, that in all of it, despite what people may say, despite what governments may attempt to put on the table, fundamentally there is still a choice. And there is that choice that cannot be taken from you as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
That human right, that choice of that you have to decide what goes into your body, that's your right. But we must all begin to understand that with every right comes a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And the responsibility is yours to bear. So when people say they are not going to take the vaccine because the X, Y, Z, then there are consequences that comes with that. And those are the responsibilities that you're going to face.
Mm-hmm.
So what the Prime Minister is saying, listen, I'm not forcing you to take it. But understand that at some point in time, our reality as a government is we will not be able to sustain the payments, XYZ, of salaries, XYZ. Because if you're not taking the vaccine, then we can't open like we want. In other words, we're not going to continue to borrow, to borrow, to borrow, to borrow. And when you borrow, you must have a means to repay. Isn't that the case?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How is he going to repay if the country isn't making money? So he's saying, it's okay, fine. You don't want to take the vaccine, that's you. I won't open the borders, but I won't be able to borrow.
My goodness.
And if I can't borrow, I can't pay you. And if I can't pay you, then what's the sense of you coming to work? Because then you make noise and say, oh, God, you're working and you're not getting paid and XYZ. So the choice is yours. My grandmother used to say, this shit don't swell until it hits your back door.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am of the view, until a lot of people find themselves in positions that they don't want to be, you know, in other sense, until they begin to smell the stink, a lot of them are not going to seriously consider the consequences of their actions. Again, I put it out there that there are some people who have fundamental reasons and must be accepted as why they can't take vaccine X, Y, or Z. But you're going to come to a point where the soundness of your position of not taking the vaccine is going to come into serious question for you as individuals. And I suspect, Marvin, a lot of people who are just saying they don't want to take the vaccine just because they don't want to take the vaccine, or they're not going to end up taking the vaccine. Those who really don't want or have issues with it, those people are going to hold on to whatever their philosophical belief is. And I mean, like them, we're all going to have to deal with our choices. We're going to have to face the consequences of our choices, and we're going to have to be responsible for the choice we are making. And I'm not saying that some people's fears and concerns aren't real, but you, if you have real fears and concerns, then address them. Not just, you know, say, at home and say, I mean, I'll put that in my body because some people somewhere want to control the population.
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah, I'll put that in my body because this is messing with the person's DNA. Or, I mean, yeah. The reality is countries are facing a lot of misinformation when it comes to the vaccines. And, you know, I give credit to governments who continue to try their best to put out clear, concise, and relevant information using the best people suited to do that, their country's doctors and medical practitioners. So, you know, I think you said this already on the blue table. This is a challenge that they were going to face.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to, as you would say, crunch time, you'll see how people react to it. But, you know, Marvin, at the end of the day, you all have a choice.
That is true.
Your choice to take it, your choice to suffer. I mean, not take it and suffer. It's really up to people. Governments are going to do what governments need to do and have to do. People are going to be angry, but at the end of the day, the government in its own wisdom, following international best practices and advice, because I find it incredible that at one end people were saying, well, WHO hasn't said this and hasn't said that, and how come government wants to do that? And as soon as governments turn around and begin to act in accordance with what these organizations are saying, then people have a problem with it. So governments have provided, based on what international organizations have said, are best practices, which is the vaccine. They have done their bit. They've gone to start vaccines here and there. Some countries are saying, listen, we're not going to force you, but we're begging you, please, get the information you need. And if you can take the vaccine, then take the vaccine. Governments are going to say, we have done our part in that regard. In the health aspect of it, we have done our part. We now have to do what we have to do in the economic side of it. Because now, here's another reality, you know. If governments don't open their borders, to begin to once again have less direct foreign direct in investment or foreign income, you know, via tourism et al., the social safety nets are going to crumble. They are going to crumble. And a lot of people are going to end up either on the poverty line or under the poverty line. And those things are going to call for social unrest.
Wow.
Those people are going to feel the squeeze of not having. And what we have got to understand and accept is that there are a lot of people who depend on government social safety programs for their sustenance.
Yes, yes.
Consider how many young people under the age of 18 and 16 and 10 depend on government's weekly or bi-weekly or monthly payments, whether it is to foster care or it is to their own daily existence. How much is given to seniors and to the disabled and to the shut-ins? And so a lot of us think of ourselves, we are able-bodied, and we may say, listen, maybe I might be able to go out and farm or raise some animals or find some labor work in the private industry. But that is not just it. We are talking about government's ability to buy and procure medication and medical services to ensure that the island is protected via, you know, police and defense force and coast guard. All of those things come at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have monies to pay bills, government can't collect. And if government isn't getting that revenue from cruise ships and from tourists that comes for stay over, then we are asking or we are looking for greater problems than just what COVID is offering. And so sometimes we may need to sit down and think beyond the eye, the individual, and see how what government is asking really mandates for a greater look at who is affected outside of ourselves.
And this brings me to that point. That brings me to this point, rather. A quote of the day I had yesterday by Premier Andrew A. Foy of the British Virgin Islands, because he was asked about another stimulus. And he said, unlike larger countries that have their own printery, the BVI does not print money. Right? So, I believe too, in Foy saying that, I believe under his leadership, the BVI has done a great job in keeping its safety nets together and to push BVI forward despite all of these challenges that's taken place. Because when countries, even under lockdown, the BVI was fast at work, and it's just to show the magnitude of a team and a leader in Premier Andrew A. Foy.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, BVI still, you know, I think countries, BVI, things to new is another countries that stayed above water during the pandemic were due in large part to, of course, in the BVI, they needed some work done on their infrastructure. So that benefited them.
Mm-hmm.
They did quite a bit of construction, and that kept the economy churning at some degree, because people were working and, you know, making money, and you make money, you spend money. In the case of Saint-Kitts and Nevis, because of surplus after surplus after surplus, Saint-Kitts and Nevis had a good standing in terms of the reserve, the finances.
No, I'm glad that you say that, because I was coming to that. When we look at some Caribbean countries and what they're facing and going through, Rohan Isles, and when we look at Saint-Kitts and Nevis, and this is very unbiased, I know that comments would have been made in the past before COVID, and we used to hear, oh, they have hundreds of millions of dollars in the treasury, and no one is spending the money. Tim is not spending the money. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. I mean, what is he doing with the money? We're all this money, right? And Prime Minister Harris, he has this way of, I tell you about this man, he has this way of just ignoring the noise, rather, and just go about his business, and he will do what he has to do. He will listen to all of you. He will read the comments on social media and he will be like, okay, you know, not that he doesn't care what the people are saying, but at the same time, he knew what he had a plan and he has stuck with his plan and he don't care how much you say, oh, we need to build this. He didn't care how much you say we need to do that. And that's a man with vision, because guess what? Right now, when some countries are balling, St. Kitts and Nevis head is above water. I'm not saying he's going to stay above water, but hopefully he does. But at this time, I mean, it is just fascinating to watch the current management and leadership of the resources of St. Kitts and Nevis.
But yeah, I mean, it truly is incredible. And one, you know, we give credit where credit is due. I think when Labour Party left government, they left a good standing.
Mm-hmm.
Unity would have moved on as they would have recorded and reported continual surpluses in the years after that.
So the monies weren't, we can say that the monies weren't squandered per se.
Right. I mean, you know, there was one leader who posited some advice to the workforce of the island when he said that they should save something for a rainy day. And I think that is exactly what the Prime Minister sought to do in his leadership, to ensure that if there ever comes a time when rain should fall for a longer period than it normally did.
Do you know if that leader saved for a rainy day, Rohan?
Well, from all indications, that isn't the case. And I think it is, they're both, the two islands are both above the water in certain respect, because the umbrella of Timothy Harris is big enough to cover St. Kitts and Nevis for the time being.
Okay.
But if you look at the individual management of the smaller of the two islands, people would tell you that they're feeling the squeeze continuously and irregularly. And that clearly indicates that not much, if any, was saved for rainy day on the smaller of the two islands. But Unity being that it is, Nevis has been able to benefit from whatever whatever good governance or whatever practices Dr. Timothy Harris has put in place to ensure that St. Kitts and Nevis stays above water during this time of a global pandemic. However, I mean, you would have heard and I would have heard the clarion call being made that that may not be for much longer, and that at some point in time he would have to open the borders, and that he's asking, just like all the other Caribbean countries who have vaccines available, to go and take the vaccine if you can, and to ensure that, you know, you will never be the same again, but some normalcy to return to St. Kitts and Nevis. But the challenge is there, as is in the case of any other country. People are defiant and not ready to take the vaccine as yet. So, but as you would have said, and I continue to say, to each his own, everybody has that individual decision to make. I don't support a mandatory vaccine approach, because you want to give people, I mean, that fundamental human right must still remain intact. I mean, you can find different means and ways of getting to where you want to go. There have been suggestions here and there, but hey, what can you say?
And what I will say right now, let's take a break. We'll hear from Carl and Sons Bakery on St. Martin and Affluent Homes in Nevis. And we'll be right back with Rohan Isles. We'll wrap up talking about the campaign on Nevis. It's getting hot. We'll be right back.
It's been a while that you're thinking or dreaming of your new home. Let Affluent Homes turn that dream into reality. Leave it to us to deliver. A team of architects and designers have created award-winning designs. We will work with you to develop the distinctive look you envision. For real estate development, property sales and management, you must think of Affluent Homes Limited. Check out our website at www.affluenthomesnevis.com or email us merchant@merchantlc.com or call us today at 1-869-665-2121. Affluent Homes Limited.
I'm very hungry. Whoa, was that your stomach? You need to get on down to Carl & Son's Unique Bakery, your number one spot for sandwiches, pastries, cakes, and more for breakfast and lunch. Are you in a rush? Call in your order at 543-1059 for town and 544-2462 for Cold Bay. Follow their Facebook page to see their daily lunch specials. Carl & Son's, the right choice since 1982.
Mervyn Hanley will inspire. Mervyn Hanley will empower. A voice powerful beyond measure. He will keep us strong under pressure. Touching the hearts and souls of family. You will hear his voice through your tragedy. Television, online, and overseas. Tune in to Mervyn Hanley.
And we're back, Mr. Isles. Your party colleague, your fellow party candidate, Dr. Patricia Bartlett, she will, of course, officially be launched as the candidate for the St. John's constituency representing the Nevis Reformation Party. Now, of course, I expect you to shower your praise and your glow and your party colleague, your party friend, your family, Dr. Patricia Bartlett, who has been, the NIA, the Nevis Island Administration, would have come under sometimes withering and some kind of diplomacy attacks from the good doctor. And she's officially throwing a hat in the ring on Saturday over at the Brownhill Court. And it will be interesting to see what happens, because I hope she knows and I hope you know that Premier Mark Brantley, she's coming up against. Of course, he can't be defeated, but he has shown to be a strong campaigner. Some may argue that he's better at campaigning than governing. Some may say he's a great campaigner in chief. And I know he loves to campaign, right? And his margins over the years, we have seen those. And those can be contributed to a number of things. But we're not going to get into that right now. But yes, Rohan, Dr. Patricia Bartlett, she has shown that she's willing to fight. She's willing to go into the ring and do what she has to do to try and win over the people of St. John's and to be their next representative. Rohan Isles.
Yeah, Dr. Patricia Bartlett, veterinary specialist on the island of Nevis, is set to be launched on Saturday the 8th. That is this coming Saturday, over in her hometown there in Brown Hill. Of course, you failed to mention, or you didn't want to mention, that their family, that is Mark Brantley and Dr. Patricia Bartlett, they are related. As you would have indicated, yes, Dr. Bartlett, sometime earlier, I think was this year or last year, whichever one it was, began to take some direct shots at the leadership of Nevis on social media, and as you would have said, he has shown the temerity to fight or to stand up against one of the better political campaigners on St. Kitts and Nevis. Jury still out on his governance ranking, but when it comes to that, he gets his accolades. And so Dr. Bartlett is set to challenge him. I know she's ready. I know she has the ability and the capabilities. She would have given human service during her tenure within the Nevis Island administration. And, you know, her life has been an example. You know, I think she was the first female veterinary doctor in St. Kitts and Nevis. She has business acumen. Of course, we are famous with the occasions within the center. So she has made quite a bit of human connection over the course of her life and her career. And I believe as a result of that, she has developed a level of trust among people and with people. And that is going to give her some boost and give her some following as well. And, you know, Dr. Bartlett isn't like, you know, you and I or the Mark Bartlett, so, you know, who are, what would you say? Loud, if you want to say that, you know, delivery. She is quiet and
quiet but effective, though, Rohan.
Yeah, she's deliberate in how she approaches things and with a different perspective. And, you know, she's one who seeks to make sure that her decisions and whatever policies that she's looking to impart has a direct human impact. And I think that is going to be part and parcel of not just her campaign, but the campaign of the NRP going forward. And how do we reach people, and how do we impact people, and how do we show people that the NRP is the right party for the times that we are facing and the times that are ahead of us. So I'm looking forward to Dr. Bartlett's launch. Of course, I'll be there. The candidates are going to be there. The party executive will be there. And we're expecting the people of St. John's to be there as well to give Dr. Bartlett their support in the at her launch and subsequent to that.
Are you feeling the momentum right now of the Nevis Reformation Party?
You know, there is a certain buzz, and there is an environment, a changing environment. I think we kind of felt a little shift pre-COVID. And then COVID came along, and then NRP began to show their dynamism and the, as they would say, the new NRP with Dr. Janice Daniel Hodge taking the helm. She brought a different perspective, a different style. She too is one that isn't going to go and, you know, be loud, but she's, as you would have said, she's effective mm-hmm. and has proven very effective in how she operates. And it moved the NRP base to a point where we have that feeling, okay, well, something good is happening with the NRP. I mean, of course, there's still some ways to go. Then J.D. Keynes was announced as the candidate in St. Paul's, and I think we're all familiar with the kind of energy she brings to the team. And now Dr. Bartlett is going to join the fray of, you know, incumbent Cleone Stapleton Simmons, who, as I said, is effective and has that firecracker ability as well. So the party's striking a balance. Of course, four females, one male, but they're striking a balance. The seasoned supporters are still there. The younger supporters are coming along. Those on the fence are saying, yes, I can move with this movement. And so there's a particular vibe and a particular energy. And it is up to the NRP and its candidates to capture that energy and to move with it and to sustain that. Add that to good messaging. Add that to new prosperity for all of us. And ride that wave home. And a lot of people are going to talk about hope, but we have seen what hope in Nevis's context has done. A lot of people have hoped for things.
Rohan, I know there's one lady in Nevis by the name of Karen Claxton Amory. She's listening to you right now. And I know she's saying, boy, I can, this guy Rohan Isles, this guy. Because I'm here listening to you and I'm saying, this guy Rohan Isles. Oh, man.
Karen is one of my biggest supporters for years now, even prior, long before I entered politics. So, good night, Karen. Hope to see you soon.
But I am. Yes.
What is happening with the NRP, and we're hoping to connect. Really and truly, it's about making human connections, understanding where people's struggles are, and being honest and open as to how we can help to transform their lives. And when we consider our options, CCM says they are concerned, the citizens' movement, and they're concerned. But the Nevis Reformation Party is saying not only are we concerned, but we're the party designed, fitted for purpose to reform your lives and to ensure that you have sustained prosperity moving beyond 2022.
Wow. Thank you for that. Where do I send this invoice to with that promotion you just gave for this NRP?
Call Dr.
Jennings. Rohan Isles, I can tell you that thousands across Nevis especially, they're listening to you tonight. And if they don't listen tonight, they normally go back and on the weekend, and some folks would use the weekend and go through all the episodes of the Blue Table for the past week. But I want to thank you so much for being here with me tonight. And we will be back at this on Monday night, Rohan. Dr. Patricia Bartlett will be at the Blue Table. So I will have her here at the Blue Table on Monday night. And folks, don't forget on Saturday night in Brown Hill, the launching of the NRP's candidate for St. John's, the St. John's constituency, Dr. Patricia Bartlett. Rohan Isles, thank you so much.
All right, bro, have a good one.
Okay, have a good one. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Rohan Isles for you. We've just been through a number of stories, items here at the Blue Table. And I will be back with you on Monday with that interview I just announced. Dr. Patricia Bartlett, she'll be here at the Blue Table, taking on the tough questions, taking on Mervyn Handley. I'll see you then. Remember, the Blue Table is Monday to Thursday. So I want to say now, enjoy your weekend and good night.
Mervyn Handley will inspire. Mervyn Handley will empower. A voice powerful.